Bible with me to chapter 1, verse 2 of Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 2 of Genesis. This morning's title is The History of Creation. While you're turning, listen to me, please. Let's start. There was a doctor, engineer, and a politician got together and to brag about their occupation, their profession, which one is the oldest. The doctor said, well, my profession got to be the oldest because if I were not there, if our profession was not there, people could not survive. And the engineer said, yeah. But the Bible says at the beginning it was a chaos. So got to be an engineer to make some sense, some order in the chaos. And the politician said, hello, who created the chaos? That's us, the politicians. See, we don't know what happened at the beginning. The best way to know is through the Bible. As we are going to study the creation, history of the creation, we will find that the three words repeating over and over for eight times in this chapter. It says, what? Yeah, turn it on. Okay. I don't know. I just teach here. There were three words, then God said. You will find in verse 2, you will find in verse 3, you will find in verse 6, you will find in verse 9, verse 11, and verse 14, and 20, 24, 26. Then God said. How many of you guys remember the guy named Thomas Edison? Majority of you remember. He is the king of the inventor. And he is the one who created the light bulb. This light bulb had to try it about 10,000 times, trial and error and test. And finally, he got the light bulb done. But God didn't do it that way. He said, let there be light. And light came into existence and it became reality. Unlike a human being, God does not do the trial and error. He just simply say the word. None of the times we will find here, none of the times he tried to make the things happen. He simply order and command it happens. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your word, the wisdom to be upon us and the one who speaks. And forgive his sins, for sins are many. And we'd like to know more about you and your craftsmanship of the universe, and because you create the entire universe. Let us be equipped by your word that we may speak to the people who do not know you. And we lift up our troops around the world. We are asking your hand to be upon them, keep them safe. And while they are away from home through this difficult time, they may come to know Jesus. And they may draw near to you. And we also lift up our law enforcement in this community and our surrounding communities. We are asking your hand to be upon them and keep them safe and strengthen them. And they also may come to know Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 2, chapter 1 of Genesis. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, underline that please, was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This is day one. We find that God is creating the light with his command. Verse 2, it seems like it's rather kind of vague, without a form and a void. Actually, this void should be translated as a vain. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, please. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah is located in the Old Testament, right after Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon's. And right before Jeremiah. 45:18. This is what the Lord is speaking. For thus said the Lord, who created the heavens, and who is God, who formed the earth and made it, and who has established it, who did not create it in vain, is the same Hebrew word. Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord, and there is no other. Please mark that in your heart and engrave it in your heart, please. There is no other God except one true God, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Based on this idea, without a form and a void, in verse 2 of Genesis, people came up with a gap theory. What is the gap theory? They're having a group of people say that, well, between verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis and verse 2, there's an indefinite and long period of time gap. That's what we call gap theory. They said a long period, so it's how it evolved. And they're using the fossil. However, the problem with the fossil is, how do you make the fossil? Think with me. To be inside a fossil, to be in a fossil, you have to, the thing or it, whatever, has to be dead, correct? Are you with me? Do you agree with that? That thing has to be dead to be in the fossil, correct? Yes, no, you don't get it, you don't care. It has to be dead. Bear with me. It has to be dead. Why? Because even if it's alive, it's compressed inside the dirt and we find that fossil. That cannot be dead. Why? Because death is not known yet. Adam is not even created. There's nothing dead until Adam committed sin. And after 6 days, after he was created, then from that moment, and then he committed sin against God, then from that moment, death came into human life and the animal's life and everybody's life. Until then, there was no death was existing. The fossil could not be there because there is no death. You follow me? Let's go to Romans chapter 5, please. Verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. It'll be nice if I turn the Bible, huh? What do you know? Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as through the one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus the death spread all men because all sin. By the way, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and we find, and it said the Spirit of God was mentioned. This is the first time Bible mentioned about the Holy Spirit. First step toward chaos, or first step from chaos, is bring the light in. That's what the God did. Let there be light. Folks, this is what God does in our lives. Before Christ, we were living in the darkness. We were living in the domain of Satan. However, he brought the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he shed the light in our lives, and we see the true light, who is Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. When we turn up the, when we go walk into the dark room, what do you do? To overcome the darkness, what do? You pick up the baseball bat and start to swing in the darkness? No, you don't do that. You simply go up to the wall, flip the switch. Let there be light. If you are going through the darkness in your life, listen carefully, please. You don't pick up your spiritual baseball bat and start to swing it. That's your own strength. However, the best way to do it is depending on God's strength. So don't try to do it in your own way, but depending on God's way. It may not be the way you want it, but God's will is always better than ours. Many people wonder if this first day is a literal 24 hours day, or is it some kind of geological age? Some people say that it's a geological age, a vast geological age, or some people say it's a literal 24 hours a day, one day. I do believe it's one literal day. Why? Remember last Sunday, I said to interpret the Bible, the Genesis chapter 1, is the best way to interpret is taking it as it is. If you start to making analogical, making an analogy out of this, you would not get anything out of this. You don't get the truth. Let's continue in verse 6. It will be day 2. We find God creating airspace. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and so the evening and the morning were the second day. The idea of the firmament has been translated in different way in some of your versions. NIV and the New American Standard will say expanse, and New Living Translation will say space. They're both correct. Here's the Bible recognizes the existence of vapor above the ground in the heaven area. In the sky, there will be firmament. There is a vapor blanket. It's a vast size. And underneath it will be called the water sea, which we'll find out. There's a few points I'd like to bring it up. This brings up the tremendous difference in ecology, much different than ours. First thing is vapor blanket would greatly change the ecology of our Earth. And next one, please. It would serve as a global greenhouse, maintaining essentially uniform pleasant temperature all over the world. It's like a greenhouse effect. I'm sure you heard that word before. In other words, it's all over the world is the same temperature. It's like God is setting the temperature with a thermostat and setting in a particular temperature and staying that way. What does that mean to us if we're there? Because the temperature is the same all over, there won't be any wind change. Wind comes from the high temperature and low temperature. When that happens, air currents start to make. And of course, when that happens, wind comes. And because of that, a rain cycle would not be formed. When there's no wind, there's no rain cycle. There would be no rain that we know. Next one, please. There would be tropical-like vegetation all over the world and fed not by the rain, but the rich dew. And it's like a vapor blanket. And heavy dew and the morning fog will be feeding the plants with moisture. And next one, please. Vapor blanket would filter out ultraviolet radiation, cosmic ray, and other destructive energy bombarding the planet. What does that mean? It explains that peoples will live longer. How many people you know that might be you about the same age you are, but if they're staying outside and under the sun, they get to have a more wrinkle. Like, for example, construction worker. They get to have more wrinkles than people who live inside most of the time. For example, I have a friend of mine, he does a lot of mountain bike riding, he does a lot of fishing and hunting. He has more wrinkle on his face than I do. He is 3 years younger than me because he loves outdoors. Nothing wrong with being outside, but it just takes the toll on people's skin. So ladies, don't try to lay out so much. It's not good for your skin. Vapor blanket is there for the future. Why? That's become a reservoir for future flood. Let's continue in verse 9. And God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together into the one space. Let the dry land appear, and so it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yield seed, and fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself and on the earth. And so it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yield seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit whose seed in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. All right. If we have a chance to witness this third day, if we were there, probably we'll get to see all this sprout coming from the ground and become a little branch and become a tree trunk. Can you imagine just seeing all this vegetation coming from the earth? That's what I call miracle grow, right? And I use it often in my yard. All this happened without the creation of the sun. Sun is not existing here yet. Did you notice that? However, there is a light. At the beginning of the creation, God said, let there be light. God is the one giving them nutrition to this plant and providing them to grow. That reminds me what we studied in Revelation chapter 22. There was no longer need for the sun or moon. Remember that? But God is the light. What makes us to think that God cannot do the same thing at the beginning like He's going to do it in the end? That's what He's going to do. Verse 14, now day 4, sun, moon, and the star will appear. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, underline signs and seasons, for the day and the years. Let them be the light, and let them be for the light in the firmament of the heaven to give a light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great light, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God sent them in the firmament of the heaven to give the light on the earth and to rule over the day and over night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God knew exactly how far He had to put the sun away from the earth. If He brought a little bit closer, guess what happened? It would scorch the earth like nothing. Extra crispy. If we took it a little bit farther out, guess what happened to the earth? It would be a nice frozen ice ball. Some have mistakenly this signs and wonders as some sort of signs for the permission from God to do the astrology. Folks, astrology is a straight from pit of hell. Okay? I don't care what you call it. It's a straight from the pit of hell, and so is the horoscope. If you're reading a horoscope, stop now. As of now, you stop it. Fortune telling is wrong, and the reading palm is wrong. You look at the palm, what do you see? Lines and skin. That's about it. Does this tell you about your future? No, it doesn't. There's only one who knows about the future. Who is that? God. Amen. So if you want to trust your future, trust God, not your palm. Amen. Not some stick that you shake. Not some stupid horoscope you read from the newspaper. Some people wouldn't get out of bed until they read the horoscope. What if that horoscope said you die today? You're going to die? I bet you don't. This coming back to the commonly known as Zodiac. Have you ever heard that? Zodiac has 12 charts. They're dividing the stars and all that in 12 charts. And of course, we know the Leo, Virgo, and Gemini, all of that stuff. And that's not the only place the Babylonian culture invaded. Also, it applied in the Chinese culture too. It's all over the world, actually. Zodiac is going all around the world. Chinese people have this thing. They mark this stick and they shake it, and they pull out one at a time. They think that they can do the fortune telling with that thing. And also, they look at each category of 12 things with the different animals. If you're born 1956, that would be the year of monkey. However, after 12 years from the 1956, 1968, that will be another year of monkey. You find the animals such as a snake, dragon, tiger, sheep, chicken, whatever, those things. If you follow that, you have a problem. And same thing with the Babylonian-style zodiac. Why? They only have a 12 step, 12 categories. That means if you're born 1956 and 1968, 1992 and 2004, you should have the same fate, right? Because you're born in the era of monkey. That means you're supposed to die altogether. You have to do the same thing altogether. You're not. So this proves itself as a full of foolishness. As I said before, there's only one you can trust for your future. That is God. Not zodiac, nor the Chinese, the year of monkey or anything like that. Have you ever wondered if there's any life on the other planet? I'm sure you have. And so is the U.S. government. That's why they're spending $100 million every year to find out extraterrestrial intelligence in the space. In my opinion, they should spend that kind of money in to cultivate the intelligent life in Washington, D.C. No offense to the politician. Verse 16 says, he also made a star also. As if, he made the stars too. As if the afterthought. Yeah, just trillion stars. Verse 20. And God said, let the water abound with the abundance of the living creature, let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and living things that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. Underline according to its kind, please. And God saw that it was good, and he blessed them, and saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. I asked you on the line, according to its kind. Why did I ask you on the line? If you notice, it's been repeating often. Actually, it's been repeating 10 times in this chapter. Why he's repeating the same thing over and over? Because he knew what kinds of garbage human being would come up with, such as evolution. We talked about extensively last week. It means God allows the variation of within kind, within organism, within same kind. However, he's not allowing the one kind to become another kind. That brings another theory. Evolutionists would love to talk about microevolution. What is microevolution versus macroevolution? They believe that microevolution is a stepping stone for the macroevolution. Microevolution is such as like this. The black and white peppered moth will change its how many dots on the wings as it is going into different surroundings. They said that's microevolution. I agree. What about the Fiji? Finch. What's that name? Finches. Yeah, bird name Finchy. Has a different style of pigs, according to different environment. However, the finch does not become moth, nor the moth become finch. Let me put it this way. Some of you guys have a little tiny dogs. I don't call it dogs, but I call it overgrown rodent. Shouldn't be in the dog category, but they are. So tip cup poodle or the Chihuahua versus Great Dane. They are two different styles. One is a tiny, one is a big humongous. They eat dog bag at a time, right? Dog food bag at a time. Now, what's the difference? There's no difference. They are same dog category. What happened? Is breed differently. It doesn't matter how many times you breed, kinds stay within kind. Finch cannot be moth, as I said before, moth cannot be finch, and the Great Dane will not, it doesn't matter how many you breed, it will not be mice. Okay? They could not prove anything like that. They said, well, we human came out from the ape. If that's the case, how come the chimpanzee is still chimpanzee? They should walk around talking same time. They are not. Let's continue in verse 24. We'll find day 6. Now we're going to find the animal on earth and the creation of the mankind. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, beasts on the earth according to its kind, and it was so. And God made a beast on the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Most people are aware that Darwin's worst enemy is not a Christian, but they are a fossil expert. This is what Darwin said. State of a fossil evidence was the most obvious and gravest objection which can be urged against my theory. Fossil proved that he's wrong. What does it mean? There's two things about the fossil that we should be aware. Number one is stasis. Stasis is the most species unchanged in all their documented history. That means when they appeared on the earth, it was the same kind and as they end up in the fossil. Okay? There was no change. Second thing we find in the common denominator for the fossil is a sudden appearance. There is no gradual change. Evolution means gradual change from one thing to another kind, another organism. But there is no change. It suddenly appeared, it's fully developed, and it's continued. Folks, remember this. You cannot prove the evolution with one fossil. Do you agree? Because you have to have a beginning, you have to have an ending. If you have a fossil of human, you have to have to approve their evolution theory, you have to have a monkey ape. And a monkey ape fossil. There's no connection. Let's continue in verse 26. Oh, by the way, if you ever wondered which one is the first, chicken or egg, what do you think it is? Chicken. Thank you. Verse 26. Then God said, let us, underline please, make man in, underline, our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have a dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the bird of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. All right, let's find out what God is teaching us. I should underline us and our. This pronoun is a plural pronoun, consists with the idea of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and one God, three persons. Mankind is created in God's image. This brings a few points in my opinion. Number one, there is an unbridgeable gap between human life and animal life. You cannot compare, you cannot bring them together because there is no connection to it. And give us an idea about the moral and intellectual and spiritual capability over the animals. Second point is it means that the incarnation was truly possible. Yes, we are compatible with God. We are not same with God, but we are compatible. That means Jesus, the God, the Son, and God himself, the second person in the God Trinity, could make himself to be God, to take over our sin. Third point I bring is that this means human possess spirituality. Human is the only one who has a spiritual condition. We have a spirit in our heart. So when we die, there's two places to go. One is heaven, the other place is hell. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, guess where you're going to be? Hell, not heaven. It doesn't matter what kinds of credentials you have. You might have all the alphabet behind your name, but you still don't go to heaven. You might be the goodest guy around the world, but you still don't go to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, through Jesus Christ. No other way. Then you might ask, okay, how are you going to explain about the caveman theory? I'm glad you asked. Never ask a man their theory about Nebraska man is constructed around based on a pig's tooth. If you know, if you ever have a chance to look at the pig's tooth, I don't know how often you get to look at the pig's tooth, but it's almost identical as human tooth. And known as the Piltdown Man, it's built around a modern ape jaw, and it's fabricated. And there's another one called the Neanderthal Man. This, the evolutionists would just enjoy this Neanderthal Man's discovery. They said this is the man, the missing link between ape, ancient ape, and modern-day man. Because this man had a slouched shoulder and curved back and has a bulging forehead, all of the feature of the primitive man. However, Dr. Francis Ivanhoe found out one very important thing from the testing the this the bones. He found that there's a severe vitamin D deficiency. Do you know what happened? We have a doctor here. When you have a lack of the vitamin D, then I heard that they have a problem with the bone structure. Their body starts crumbling down. And on top of it, he had a severe case of arthritis. It is no wonder why he was walking around like a knuckle dragger. Verse 29. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields the seed and which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields the seed, and to you it shall be for food. Also to every kind of the earth, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And so, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God gave man dominion over the whole earth, and only vegetation is especially allowed to be used as a food. And as we studied in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21 and 22, we find out we will going back to the vegetarian diet. Folks, especially guys, enjoy your T-bone steak while you can. Let's make application. Number one, there's only one. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Whether you believe this fact or not, this is truth. If you deny it, if you believe anything other than God created heaven and earth and everything he says in the chapter 1 of Genesis, you are standing against God. As simple as that. Either you're for God, you're against God. Let's stand up and pray.